Hallelujah. Good morning, good morning. It's just good to be in the house. It's good to be here. So just give yourselves a hand for being here. And those who are watching online, give yourself a hand. Just a little reach about and pack your back a little bit. Hallelujah. With all this that's been said, everything that's been said, you know, you have to understand that identity. Your identity. Because until you understand your identity, you don't have a platform to look at someone else's identity from. Because when you understand your identity, now you can begin to know where you are and what you're about. So that as you know where you are and what you're about, then you can begin to know what things I can affect and what things I need to pray. So those are the things that I want to look in a little bit this morning. If you will, go with me to Ephesians 5. Because we were just talking about letting the light in, or we're singing about it. So we're going to let a little light in. Going to let a little light in. So I got to find Ephesians 5 real quick. Glory to God. Lester Sumrall, in his closing days, he said that there would be a time when everybody carried a square and it told them what to do. That's pretty close. He was describing something he had no vocabulary for, but he saw in the spirit. He didn't know what a phone was in 1987. Not this kind of phone. Phones were big things. And big old, you know, about 1987, I had a car phone, which was one of the few. And it was a big old unit. But at the same time, it made me better than everybody else because I had one, right? That's right. Down in the hood, we had it good. Hallelujah. So there's a couple of things that are necessary for us to be able to reach and understand truth. But truth is only open to us when we're open to it. Okay, we got to be able to receive it. What I saw is he was speaking about truth. As LaRue was speaking about truth earlier, I just saw a big black screen. And all you could see out of the screen was his hand reaching through the screen trying to grab at something. Because see, that's how most people are grabbing for truth. They're grabbing at something. They can't even see it. They're just trying to reach through the veil. But see, God, Christ said, I came and I've shattered the veil. In other words, he's broke the veil for us. So all we have to do is understand what has already been done for us and understand our identity as Christians and understand that we're the ones to bring the light to the situation because we are the light. The light resides in us. And when the light resides in us, it is there to shatter the veil. It's there to bring forth the truth. And it's there to allow the light to shine into areas that never saw light before. Amen? Okay, let's go home. Hallelujah. Come on. See, Ephesians 5, you know, interestingly enough, Ephesians 5 follows Ephesians 4 and 3 and 2 and 1. And Ephesians 1, and Ephesians 1 tells you that he became, in other words, that all your blessings are held up in heavenly places. Okay, and that he comes. And Ephesians 2 says, now he raised you up because of his great mercy, because of his great love. He raised you up and established you with Christ in those heavenly places. And Ephesians 3 begins to come along and tell you how to begin to walk in the love of God. It begins to show you how to grasp a hold of the love of God and let it change you in ways that you didn't even understand. Ephesians 4 begins to tell you how to walk that out as a Christian, to walk as a Christian. And as you walk in it out as a Christian, now then he brings you into Ephesians 5, and now he says this. We'll just read verse 1 real quick too. Therefore, because of all those other things that we just said, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ loved you and gave himself for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God is a fragrant aroma. Now it begins to talk about not allowing yourself to be mixed with immorality and things like that. And then it gets down here because he says in verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now, but now I am light. But now you are light. You are formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. That means that we begin to look and represent what God is and represent where he is and what he's saying and what he's doing. That means we begin to look like Christ and carry the light of Christ with us. It's amazing that you know, sometimes the forces of darkness see the light of Christ better than the rest of us. Because I remember when Enrique was in Colombia, and there was a lady, he had just gotten saved. He didn't know anything yet at that point in time in his life. He'd just gotten saved, and this lady came and got him, and he knew her to be a witch. But he thought, you know, I'll just go to her house. And maybe I'll have an opportunity to just speak into her life and bring salvation to her. And what he didn't know was she had a different agenda. Because see, when she was getting over to his house, the lady across the street was also a witch, and she began screaming. It's like, why are you bringing him here? I see the light. I see the light. You're bringing him here to destroy me. See, she saw something. He didn't even know he possessed yet, but she saw it in him. She saw it in him. So, but the reality is, when you became Christian, when you became and gave your life to Christ, that light resides in you. That light, that same light that she was seeing, was the light, because he had no other understanding yet at that point in time. He just had a salvation. That light resides in you. Every one of us is carrying this light. So when we're saying, let the light in, Carlos and I look at each other oftentimes and we'll go, let the light out. Let the light out. Let the light out. Because we're not only holding it, not only letting it in, but we want to let it out. I know you were all fascinated by my singing, so come on. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Hey, what was that over there on the front row? Don't encourage him. Oh. Oh. Yes, ma'am. I love you too. Hallelujah. Verse 9. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. See, the fruit of light, in other words, the evidence of light in your life is in goodness, righteousness, and truth. The evidence that light brings with it is goodness, righteousness, and truth. In other words, righteousness is going to be established in your life as an operational thing because you have the light. Goodness is going to be established as an operational thing because you have the light. Truth becomes the de facto standard when you're walking in light. You no longer have to look and depend upon another or the media to prophesy to you because you're walking in truth. It's a prophesy. You know, I received a word way, way, way back in probably in late 97 or 98. And it was just that, don't let circumstance be your prophet, because circumstance is a false prophet. The media is just only projecting what circumstance is already trying to tell you. And then they add their own level of lie to it. Come on. Okay. But the deal is that we need to look and understand when we begin to let the light in. When we begin to let the light in, it begins to show us things in new ways. It begins to show us things in our heart. It begins to show us things in our life. It begins to show us things in the present, in the past, and in the future. The truth will begin to give you an anchor for the present, but also gives you a hope for the future. The goodness of God will give you an assurance about the past, but also generates a fondness for the future. You have to understand that when God comes to us in goodness and righteousness and truth, then that there's this evidence of what He's moving in our heart and through us. And so I had an interesting little thing that came, and let's go over to chapter 6. This is not at all the way I was going to do it, but that's okay. We're going to jump to the end, and then we'll jump back. The word in Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, finally. In other words, after everything else has been concluded, finally. Be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. And put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. In other words, you may stand against the schemes or the methods, the skill set of the devil. You know, you don't underestimate him. He has a skill set. He's been honing it for several thousand years. Don't think that you're going to come up with something that he didn't already come up with. You know, he's been imitating God for a long time, but it doesn't mean that he's any better. So what we need to recognize is that it's time for us to quit trying to defeat him on our own and actually engage the power of Christ that's in us. That's why it's necessary to understand our identity. I've worked with people, and sometimes the lack of understanding about your identity can cause you to totally miss what God's doing in your life. If you don't understand your identity, then it allows the enemy to be able to turn you away from the thing that you were supposed to be able to do. To convince you of something that will put you in the pit. See, your identity, understanding your identity is like a lighthouse in a storm. It's the one place that I can count on. It's the one thing that I can stand on. It's the one thing that's illuminating the day for me. It's illuminating the night for me. No matter what is going on in the storm, I have one called the rock that I can count on, and He's shining the light out here. See, it's understanding the fruit of this light. And understanding how this begins to shape up in our life. I'm going to give you a living example here in a moment. Verse 13 says, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist the evil day. And having everything to stand. Having done everything to stand. This is a day where we stand. We stand in what God has told us. We stand in what we've already seen. We stand in the place where God has already invigorated us. He's given us of His life. We did everything else. When you've prayed, you fasted, you've looked, you've desired, then you stand. When you've moved with Him and you've joined with Him, there comes a moment when you've done all those things and you stand. Hallelujah. So let me show you something. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is the gospel called? The what? The good news. Is that the goodness of God? Is that the goodness of God? Guess what this armor is? This armor is the light. It's the light. Because you're putting on the truth. You're putting on truth. Okay? You're girding yourself up with truth. You're putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and you're standing in agreement with the goodness of God. Guess what? You just put yourself into the armor of light. The armor of light. I've never seen it before like that. You know, back in the day when we were first Christians, we would put on the belt of truth, put on my breastplate of righteousness, and skirt myself in the shot in the possible peace. Don't mess with me. But now tomorrow, I get up and do it all over again. Why did I take it off? Why did I take it off? See, if you're riding and you're residing and you know your identity in Christ, guess what? The light is going with you, and the light's going to be there in the morning too. I don't have to put it back on. I don't have to do anything. I just walk in it. It's time for us to walk in the armor of God, understanding we're standing in the armor of God every minute of every day if we'll just stay in agreement with Him and His light. Who He is, the revelation of who He is, the revelation that we know in the moment, staying in that and staying in agreement with His purpose and His plan. Now you're walking in the light. You're walking in the light. Romans 13 and 12 says this, cast aside darkness, cast aside the darkness and put on the armor of light. Amen. We got one excited one. Glory to God. In James, what does the Father call Himself? The Father of lights. The Father of lights. Why? Because He expected you all to be lights. He expected you to be operating as lights. He expected to look across everybody and say, okay, I see a whole bunch of lights. Okay? Now, maybe we may be different in our level of light at the moment, but by God, at the end of the day, we should all have the same light. It's necessary. It's necessary. I don't know what's going on back there, but okay. She's LED. Okay. That's good. The halogen's good. Halogen burns. It burns. There's a fire that goes with it. There's a fire. Every light has fire. It's impossible to be light without having fire. An LED uses about 1/10 of the actual power that it requires for the same amount of equivalency of light in an incandescent, but it still has fire. It still has heat. We should be operating in the light of Christ, but there should also be a fire that comes with it as we operate in it. Hallelujah. Amen. So this morning I'm looking at these things. This is kind of personal, I'm looking at these things, and God began to open up something to me. Because see, sometimes the light comes and it shines a light into where we've been. It shines a light into where we're going. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is, and He was, and He is to come. And all those things are, so He's working on us at all levels. And so because of that, then He's shown two primary events that affected my childhood quite a bit. One was the passing of my younger sister. And then one was when my father hit me and busted my spleen and put me in the hospital. But when I was there, it was all about my anger. When I was in the hospital at that time, it was just about my anger. Because up until that moment, I had tried to do everything I could possibly do to avoid this kind of a situation. But in this situation, it happened anyway. And so here I am, what I failed to recognize in that moment was the pain that must have caused you. Because I was just about my anger. So I apologize to you. I didn't develop the situation, but I didn't do what I'm capable of doing to understand and make and reckon and release you. So I apologize. Because see, I didn't recognize how much of an open door that I opened in my life. This door of anger became something that defined every moment of every day for the next 20 years of my life. It wasn't until I got saved that I began to understand the damage I was doing to myself and those who are around me, till I began to understand the effects of that anger and that rage that came out of the anger and how that was consuming not only me, but consuming my family, my brothers, my sisters, my mom, myself, my wife, my boys. It consumed everything. And I had no place to go with it. See, the light came this morning. The light came this morning. And I see it. And this morning I was able to close some doors because, see, it opened a huge door in my life. And over time and over dealing with things, I had closed most of those doors. But this morning I closed some more doors. And I can walk in the freedom of it. Why? Because the light came. We can walk in the freedom of it because the light came. See, the light shows what needs to be shown. It takes care of what needs to be taken care of. The light's not limited to showing you something from your past. It can show you today. It can show you somebody's intentions, somebody's thoughts. I've walked up to people and I've heard what they're thinking. It's scary. I don't always want to know. Don't think. No, I'm not doing that now. She was looking at me. It was like, I did not think about it. I was standing right here. I'm sorry. See, what is when the light comes, it'll show you what's happening right now. It'll show you outside of the perimeter of what the circumstance is telling you. It'll show you outside the perimeter of what your eyes can see, or even sometimes what your heart can attach to. And it'll begin to show you what's actually real. You know how much difference it makes when you're ministering to somebody's heart if you actually see their heart? It'll also show you the future. It'll show you the future. Yeah. There was a day, Kim and I just lost net one, and Kim and I were looking at starting this company, and We went to Phoenix to meet with a gentleman, and while we were in Phoenix, we went to a little restaurant, and I got my food, and I was fixing to sit down. And I don't know what happened to my body in the natural, because I all of a sudden went out 15 years in the future. And I began to see and understand all the lessons that I needed to know to interact with everything that was going to happen to me for the next 15 years. And then all of a sudden I'm back. And to me, I don't know, how long was it? It was, well, I don't know. To me, it was seconds. It was like, boom. And I just, but in each moment, I visited stuff down the timeline and saw things. And then later, I would walk up to a situation and go, oh, I've already lived this. I know what to do. I've already seen this. I know how to respond. I've already been here, and they're going to do this, and then I can do that. Because why? Because God wanted to know so that I wasn't surprised by everything, but he also wanted to show me his generosity to us. He wanted to show us that he can move in ways that we didn't even see and understand. I didn't have a grid for that at that moment. We had been teaching a little bit about how that time, or we were just entering into teaching about time habitation. So now I have to go, I need to go back and seek him for the next 15 years because I'm about done with the last 15. So if I take a sabbatical, that's what I'm doing. Show me the next 15. Glory to God. Hey, and if you can see the next 15, you know, that means you got another 15 to go on. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So identity is critical, especially in times of transition. Would we agree that we're in a time of transition? We're in a transition from what was into what's going to be. But right now, some of the what was looks like it's trying to triumph over what it shall be. But see, in a moment of transition, in a pregnancy, in a labor, a moment of transition is probably the worst possible moment of all. I've never done it, but I hear. When Kim, we were having our first child, we were in that moment of transition, and there was a spot up on the ceiling, and we were doing Lamaze. And I'm over her, and I'm trying to dab her sweaty little brow. And she looks up at me, and she said, "Get out of my spot!" If I'd have known about demons at that moment, I'd have been casting it out. I've never heard Kim talk like that in my whole life, but that one moment. I can tell you, with child number two, I did things more respectfully. I was backing up, and baby, is it okay if I come over there? Can I brush your brow? See, moments of transition are difficult, but at the same time, moments of transition are the moments just before the glory explodes. Just before the baby is delivered, just before everything's all of a sudden, you know, it's hardest in that moment of transition, and then it gets easier finally. And it gets glorious. It gets glorious. We'll agree on that part. And then you hold this baby and life changes. I wish somebody had told us that there was an instruction manual. There wasn't. In my understanding, there was an instruction manual because I didn't really have a foundation for that I do now. I had to learn those things later on my way. That's right. Being a grandpa is great. Hallelujah. There's a freedom and a delight. There's a freedom and a delight of knowing who we are. When we know who we are. When we saturate ourselves in the knowing of who we are. Are you guys good for another 10 minutes or so? Then flip with me to Titus. Because there's a time when these things come into play. I'm going to go to Titus 2:11. And this tells us a little bit about how we get to this place where the light's working in us. 2:11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing or teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." See, grace isn't so we can continue in our sin. Grace came so that we can be making manifest everything that God is doing. Everything that's in the will of the Father. Everything that's in His heart. And as this grace, the grace will come and instruct us in how to get there. Grace comes alongside us so that we can make the journey complete. Grace comes and empowers us with the will of the Father so that we can release ourselves into where He's going. It empowers us to see the glory of God in ourselves and in another. The grace of God comes alongside so that you can begin to shine the light that God has created in you. But here's some more that it does. Chapter 3, verse 5. "He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit." So He saves us on the basis of not on the basis of what we did in ourselves, in our dependency upon our ability, but He saves us on what Christ did and Christ did alone. Which means that I can take my hand off of it. I don't have to ooze everything in my life. I don't have to ooze everything in my life. Sorry, I just want to make sure you're paying attention. So by the washing and regeneration, that's your new birth. That's your new birth. Know that is a birth. In other words, and every birth comes from a seed. And guess what? That every seed is capable of regenerating what the previous seed had. When a corn of wheat falls into the ground and springs up more wheat, guess what? The second generation looks just exactly like the first generation. And guess what? It's even more fruitful because it was one when it went in, and it's many when it comes out. That's the seed that He's planted in you, the power of that seed, the power to live, because you look like Christ, you're born in the image of Christ, and you carry the power to multiply that image. But here's where I'm getting to, verse 7. That being justified by His grace, being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs together according to the hope of eternal life. That we might be made heirs together to the hope of, according to the hope of eternal life. You know, sometimes we sell being an heir, we sell it short. We don't realize the fullness of what that really means. I think this is one of the things that we need to perambulate with God, each and one of us individually. We need to perambulate with God to understand what being an heir actually entails. Because when I begin to look and understand what God is bringing into my life as an heir, I begin to understand that heaven has an opportunity now to meet earth through me. Heaven has an opportunity to be made manifest in my earthly body and in this world. Because why? Because I walk with Him. And as I walk with Him, I'll begin to learn of Him. And as I begin to learn of Him, I begin to reflect Him. Now, see, and as it is, sir, can you imagine? There is no sickness and disease in heaven. Okay, so guess what? When I'm there, then that means sickness and disease has to leave my body. There is no fear in heaven. There's just an open vulnerability with no judgment. No matter. And so I can, when I'm here, I can release and be in that same place. You know, one of the most awesome things you can do is to be totally free to be you. When Tim, we might have an exception. I'm messing myself up. I don't need to do that. When we're standing and looking into heaven, and we're ministering out of a place of heaven and ministering back into this earth, there's a releasing of everything that's in heaven through you. The holiness of heaven is all of a sudden in you. The righteousness of heaven is operating through you. The purity of heaven is now moving with you. See, that's what's necessary. This earth has seen so many things that were fake, so many things that weren't real, but we need to move in the truth of who God is, and then we can do that because why? Because we're only taking what Papa shows us and releasing it just like Jesus did. Because why? Because we stand with him. Because we've been given this access as an heir. Because as LaRue likes to remind, you can just come and open the fridge and freely raid the fridge, and whatever is there, you can take. Freely raid the fridge of heaven. Amen. Get some of those spirits out. Get some of those, get whatever it takes out of that refrigerator. Because whatever he has in there is going to be good. And now you can release the goodness back into this earth. You can release the righteousness back into this earth. You can release the truth. And guess what? When you do that, you just already dealt with and released the light. So I just encourage you this week, just release the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want something to share?